Prologue. The book of John is wonderful. It has a specific purpose. Consider it a personal letter to you from John. He also wrote it for me and for every man, woman, and child in the universe. There are no exclusions. It is written as his eyewitness evidence, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's found in John chapter 20, verse 31. In this journey of inquiry, I am praying that God's Holy Spirit will expand your mind and my mind to understand more clearly the realm of the divine, his dominion, the Word. Inquiries will be predominantly directed toward God as we seek answers. One might call them prayers, for prayer is communing with God. Since you are the one to whom John is writing, we will address you in this inquiry. It will be as if John is speaking directly to you. You may be thinking, who is John? Why would he write to me? When one writes to you with such an incontrovertible claim as is made by John, it is presumed you want to know as much as possible about him and what gives him such authority. This prologue outlines John's life and experiences. John was one of the 12 disciples Jesus called and who chose to be known as his apostles. John was more than 90 years old when he wrote this book. Most Bible scholars believe he was the last living disciple. The others had been martyred, with the exception of Judas, who betrayed Jesus and committed suicide. As a young man, John and his brother James, sons of Zebedee, were partners in a fishing business with Simon Peter. We find that from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 10. John and his brother left their business to become followers of Jesus. John may have known Jesus through family or relatives before he became a disciple. Though evidence is not clear, some scholars feel his mother, Salome, and wife of Zebedee, may have been a sister to Mary, the mother of Jesus. We know that John was very close to Jesus, was even described as the one Jesus loved. John is probably the youngest of the 12 disciples. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation, in addition to the Gospel of John. Because John was always close to Jesus, he experienced overwhelming demonstrations of the divinity of Jesus. A demonstration happened shortly before the crucifixion of Jesus. The Transfiguration. On the mountain of Transfiguration, John, his older brother James, and Peter witnessed as Jesus' face shone like the sun, his clothes became as white as the light, and suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared speaking with Jesus. While they were speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." John, James his brother, and Peter fell face down to the ground in terror. Jesus came, touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid. But don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is found in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 9. John himself did not write about this specific manifestation of the deity of Christ. Was it because Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded it in the Gospels, and Peter also, many years later, narrated his eyewitness account of the indescribable and indisputable majesty of Jesus? We find that in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 16 through 18. Did John find the powerful and overwhelming majesty of Jesus indescribable? Could it perhaps be that this mountaintop transfiguration revelation created within John the courage and devotion to later stand near the cross of Christ with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when others, even Peter and James, deserted our Lord, ran away, and hid? Scripture clearly states that John was near the cross when Jesus was crucified. At that time, Jesus transferred the responsibility of his mother's care to John, declaring from the cross, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. From that time on, John took her into his home. Years later, John, in Galatians 2:9, is called one of the pillars of the church in Jerusalem by the Apostle Paul, when Paul made a second trip to Jerusalem. This was at least 17 years after the Apostle Paul's Damascus Road conversion. We read that in Acts 9, verses 1 through 15, again in Galatians 1:18, and Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. We know that at some point John went to Ephesus, today known as Turkey. Specifically, how and when John left Jerusalem is not recorded, but history records the destruction of Jerusalem by Rome in 70 AD. Prior to and during this time, much persecution occurred to all Jews, and we know the remaining disciples, one by one, were martyred. John's own brother, James, had been one of those first martyred when King Herod put him to death by the sword. Acts chapter 12, verse 2. After the death of the other apostles, John, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, that's from Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9, was exiled to the deserted isle of Patmos between Greece and Turkey during the madman emperor Domitian's reign of the Roman Empire. This was a literal sentence of death. History records that Domitian demanded to be addressed as a god. Certainly, to call the emperor god would have been abhorrent to the apostle and may have been one of the causes of his exile. The one who died, however, was not John the Condemned. It was the accuser, Domitian. Less than 2 years later, Domitian was assassinated in his own bedroom in 96 AD. And John, freed from the Isle of Death, returned to his church in Ephesus. And did he ever return? He did not return a defeated, broken old man. No. At more than 90 years of age, he returned, armed with an astronomical vision and word for the churches in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and for us. It was on this so-called Isle of Death, Patmos, that the most powerful government and emperor in the world at that time dumped anyone they didn't like. The prisoners had no legal recourse, but we know why John was there. He said it was because of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. In Revelation, the first chapter and verse 9, the Word did not desert John. One Sabbath morning, he was given possibly the most incredible, ultimate, magnificent revelation from the Word ever given a human being. And that revelation carries a blessing to you and to me. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Revelation, first chapter, verse 3. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, John paints an awesome description of deity for us. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The whole book of John makes a case, point by point, fact by fact, from John's personal life and experience with Jesus, that the man Jesus is the Word, that he is God, and provides life eternal to everyone who will believe in him. John says that you, too, may live forever. We find that in John chapter 20, verse 31, and John, chapter 3, verse 16. Is it possible today to miss the truth of John's message that you and I may know the Word personally? What do you think? Please stay tuned.